Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Cannonball Coming on Army Radio, your campus, your voice. I'm your host, Matt Curtis, alongside Mike Shuley and Logan Carney. We're glad to be back for our second week, and we're glad to see the Pirates off to a hot 4-0 start this season.
Hot.
Look, fire out there.
I think they're going undefeated, winning the World Series. Stamp it. It's guaranteed.
Guaranteed World Series. From Mike Shuley.
And then they're going to have the after party and parade at Seven Springs.
So if you guys are joining us right now, that means that you are listening to us as you're watching the Pirate game, or just not watching the Pirate game right now. The Pirates are currently taking on the Minnesota Twins as we speak.
I'm working on it right now. I'm pulling the game up on my laptop as we speak.
You're pulling the game up. Anyways.
Oh, yeah. We're getting into it.
The Pirates got off to a hot start in that game. Josh Bell hit a 2-run home run in the first inning to bring in Josh Harrison off of Odorizzi, who the Twins are starting. But then the Twins got another run back with a Brian Dozier home run, and now the Twins have tied it up at 2-2 because of a sacrifice fly hit by Escobar.
Oh, boy, Buccos. Oh, boy.
I just realized, you know, Wednesdays, it's our show's at 7 now. We're gonna pretty much every single one of our shows is gonna be during a Pirates game.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
We'll give you live updates. Come here, you can put it on during the game if you don't want to listen to Joe Block, because we know a lot of you don't want to listen to Joe Block. But
you're not nice to Joe Block. All right, so we will get right into it. So the Pirates got off to a 4-0 start, and they swept the Detroit Tigers after a couple days of not being able to, you know, play some games. That opening day was canceled. They played the next day, and then
the day after that, they were canceled again.
Again, playing a doubleheader. So that's not really how you draw it up. Or we start off 3-0 in the season. My bad. So I'll ask
no,
you.
It's 4-0.
It's 4-0.
No, against the Tigers.
They went and won that doubleheader on good old Easter Sunday.
Well, I meant they started off 3-0 against the Tigers,
2-2
not 2-0.
Right now, by the way.
Yes, yes. So I have some stats over here for us. I got our hitting and our pitching. So we're through four and a half games now. I'll ask you first, Mike. What has stood out to you about this Pittsburgh Pirates team this year?
Well, I'm going to tell you what hasn't stood out to me, and what really didn't surprise me first off was the bullpen in the first game nearly blowing the lead. I was surprised that it was Rivera that gave up, what was it, 4 runs in the top of the ninth. And then after Polanco hit that 3-run home run to put the Pirates up 13-10, I believe they let 3 more runners on base. So
Buccos just took the lead, by the way.
I just saw that,
Nice. I'm still working on getting it pulled up here. But
we have a Cole Moran single to right field that scored Corey Dickerson.
And I think he might be a pleasant surprise this year as well, Cole Moran. I don't think too many of us have the highest of hopes on Moran this year. We saw the grand slam already in the home opener. Maybe he'll finally be a player that can put up good power numbers at PNC Park. That might be a bit of a stretch for anybody, but you never know. I think Colin Moran, I think, could be a pleasant surprise for this team. And if they want to really accomplish anything significant out of this season, he's going to have to be one of the players that steps up.
For me, you know, looking at this team, and this is something that I'm more excited about, not so much this year, maybe the second half of this season, and next year especially, is the rotation. The rotation excites me. I talked about it. We have a show, Sports Talk in the Berg, that I'm on, and we talked about it a little bit today. Yeah, I got to throw the plug out there.
There you go, Logan.
But we talked about it, and we said what impressed you. It's the rotation. Yvonne Nova, I think if the season goes the way I think it is, I think Yvonne Nova will not be on the team next year. I think we would have been traded. But the rotation, if you look at it, the 2019 rotation, Jameson Taillon obviously going to be the ace. Tyler Glasnow, Mitch Keller. Because Mitch Keller is probably going to be called up this year. Joe Musgrove and Trevor Williams. That rotation looks insane if it develops the way that it is. It looks phenomenal. It looks like it can be one of the best in the league, possibly with the potential that those guys have. Trevor Williams, you know, somebody that was not a big Herald prospect, he was a decent prospect coming up, has pitched pitched great down the second half. I mean, of last season, and threw almost a no hitter. It was six innings of no ball in his first start this year.
Yes,
the rotation excites me. They're finally getting some good hitters in the good young hitters. Polanco is still 25 years old. Bell is his second season. Kevin Newman's likely to be called up this year to take the reins from Jordy Mercer at shortstop. You got guys like Colin Moran, like you mentioned, who's come on. He's only has 214 batting average, but it's still early. It's four games. We shouldn't judge a guy on that, but he looks to be a decent player. You know, the team, it looks like a team that can compete as early as next year, and I'm very excited for what this team can look like in the near future.
Yeah. No, you want to go, Mike? Go ahead.
Let me interject here. Some things that I think are problem areas, I think that shortstop is going to be one of the issues for this team. I'm not sure.
Well, that'd be fixed with Kevin Newman.
I'm not sure how much of an improvement Kevin Newman is.
He's one of the best prospects in the team.
I mean, we're not.
Team.
Let's talk about Jordy Mercer.
But honestly, to say that they're going to be competing next year with a rookie shortstop, I feel is a stretch.
Well, he's going to be called up this year. He's one of the most likely called up this year.
Even if it's in his first full year, I'm not sure that I'm willing to put all my eggs in the Kevin Newman basket is your savior at the shortstop position. Not even that the shortstop position is the most glaring issue with this team. Also, is Josh Harrison going to be around? You're going to have that hole at second base that could possibly be filled. Is Colin Moran the guy? I mean, he has a grand slam through four games here in that low batting average, but it's only four games.
If Josh Harrison goes, you know, Adam Frazier, young player, who's played great last year, looks to be, you know, the next Josh Harrison, somebody that can play a lot of positions and hit for average very well. He can be that next Josh Harrison. They have Kevin Kramer in the AAA systems that has been getting a lot of hype lately, who looks to be a pretty good player. I mean, the team looks good.
But then you have more questions, I feel, in the outfield, where you have someone such as Austin Meadows, who's heralded as this guy that's supposed to come up and possibly replace Dickerson next year if the Pirates choose not to re-sign him. But we've seen some inconsistencies, some injuries in his game. I'm not sure he's going to be the star that we all thought he was going to be. So I think there's too many questions to say that they're going to be competing next year. I think they'll be competitive. But when I hear competing,
wild,
I think we're competing,
spot. They'll be competing
for a division or for a World Series.
I think you guys are passing up on Jordy Mercer, who is by far one of the most consistent power players we've had in the last couple of years.
Yeah,
he's batted 250, and that's what decent shortstops hit, and he's one of the best fielding shortstops in the league. He's about one Brandon Crawford away from, you know, being in that Gold Glove chase. So just, you know, pass up on Jordy Mercer need a new shortstop, I think that's a little bit.
I disagree, because you look at – see, the thing about Jordy Mercer is, he's an average shortstop, but he hasn't – the Pirates shortstop, comparative to the rest of the league, is very far behind. I mean, it sounds like we're getting a phone call.
Oh, boy.
This is surprising all of us.
I'll pick up the phone here. Hello.
You go ahead and repeat that for us, caller. Trying to get you on the radio.
All right, what was that again?
It doesn't look like we're getting poor connection.
Yeah, I can't hear you, sir.
All right. Well, anyway,
try back again, maybe.
All right. Well, anyway, we got a crank caller on the show, but you know, as I was saying, the Pirates shortstop position is far behind the rest of the league. There's Francisco Lindor, rings out. Corey Seager, National League. So he's not the second best National League shortstop like you talked about he was with Brandon Crawford.
I said fielding. I didn't say hitting.
Corey Seager's a better fielder anyway, too.
I mean,
so and then you go to, you know, you got guys like Paul DeJong in St. Louis, phenomenal shortstop. Orlando Arcia in Milwaukee, much better glove and hitting. He's a 20-20 potential guy and has an amazing glove in Milwaukee. So Jordy Mercer, yes, he's an average shortstop 10 years ago. But today, the offense...
10 years ago?
But my point is, if he was on the team 10 years ago, he would have been an average shortstop with numbers he's putting in. The game has aggressed. He has not aggressed to the level that the league is at now. It's such a more offensive league that he is in the bottom.
But here's my thing, though. Someone got a bad eighth, you know? And if your eight-hole hitter's giving you 250 and not
12
being
home runs,
absolutely garbage, is looking at this Pirate game, and I've never seen a Pirate game. There's more snow in this game right now against the Twins than I've seen in a Steeler game all year. So it's nice to see him playing in the snow. But with that being said, back to Jordy Mercer, I think – if you have someone in that eight hole who's consistent, even though he's not batting.
Well, why not have one with potential like Kevin Newman?
I'm not saying. Like somebody who could
potentially be a star player.
But if Kevin Newman isn't a marginally better hitter, isn't by far a better hitter, and is a significantly worse glove, not saying that he is a worse glove, but if he is and the hitting doesn't make up for it, I don't think he'll be able to break his way into the lineup, as you're saying.
All right, this is something we can talk about as the year progresses, and we'll see how Jordy Mercer does do this year.
But Corey Dickerson almost misjudges a fly ball.
But
goes
what we can talk about is that
he made the catch, though.
Four pitchers on the Pirates this season already have over 3 walks, or have at least 3 walks. And, you know, Trevor Williams, although he had that 6-inning shutout, did walk 5 batters. Yvonne Nova, who we talked about, was one of the best pitchers in terms of just hitting his locations and not walking anybody. That's kind of how Nova lives. He walked the first batter of the season on 4 straight pitches. So the Pirates have not really been great at, you know, keeping the ball in the zone, and they're letting a lot of guys on, which could be troubling down the stretch. So
speaking
Mike,
of keeping
I'll ask
the ball
you.
In the zone, that ball that was hit towards Corey Dickerson almost popped right out of his glove. So Corey Dickerson's defense could be a thing to watch, especially if you're going to have some wild pitching and guys like Nova as he throws a pitch that almost gets past Cervelli right there. And, I mean, he's down 2-0 in this count. And through 5 innings, he's at 58 pitches, which is
what Nova's known for, you know, being a good, efficient, effective pitcher.
It doesn't worry. It's 4 games, and the walks doesn't really seem like an issue. Like, you make it out to be this big thing, but the Pirates have drawn just as many walks as their pitchers have given up, which means their opponents are walking people the same amount that the Pirates have been.
Yeah, but just because someone jumps off a bridge, does that mean you follow them? You
but
don't,
if all the teams are doing it, is it really an issue if every team is doing it?
It's still an issue.
It's not. It's an issue around the league, but it's not a Pirate issue.
Think about who the Pirates
have
played,
though. Because if you're average, it's not an issue. Like you said, Jordy Mercer was average, and you said that's not an issue. Well, if the walks are average, how is that an issue?
Think about who the Pirates have played, though. They played the Detroit Tigers in 3 games. Are we expecting the Pirates to be better or worse than the Detroit Tigers?
Who were the worst team at baseball last year
but
and
they still
are rebuilding.
But they still beat them, and their starters pitched
that,
well.
However, I'm saying that the walks from the pitchers against batters that aren't necessarily the greatest in terms of plate vision and discipline and holding off against those edge strikes or edge pitches and drawing those walks, I'm not saying it is a problem now. However, it could definitely become a problem down the road. Look, I could see that.
There are 2 Pirate pitchers that have a whip over 188. The 2 Pirate pitchers that have a whip over 188, and they're both relievers. I don't see it as an issue. I really don't. If it was an issue, there'd be more pitchers with
I'm saying
with
if
higher
it can,
whips.
If it continues, it could become an issue. Because I don't think anyone's suggesting that it's better baseball for you to start an inning off or to constantly put runners on bases.
I mean, it's average. It's league average, so it's not really an issue if it's right up there with every other team. It's just
say,
how the game
I
is.
I say as of now, non-issue. If it stays at the same rate and it stays average, I don't think it's your biggest issue. I'm sure this team will have bigger issues, but if those numbers increase, I could see it possibly becoming a few months down the road, a problem.
Now, I like how you guys are talking about average, because this is what we're going to talk about next. So, in the studio, we just got a new member in the studio right now. His name is Spencer Witt. He is a junior at RMU. Spencer can tell you a little bit about himself right now.
Oh, I'm talking about myself? Okay. Pirate fan, how's everybody doing today? Junior, accounting major, talks a lot about Pirates, and I love mediocrity, maybe more than everybody else, so this next segment, I will be very excited to talk about.
Well, is this our 7th inning stretch?
I believe this is.
I think
it is. Say,
is this our 7th inning stretch?
Right before we get to this good old mediocrity.
Oh, is this
bracket,
Vince Lashide right here?
We're going to cue to Vince Lashide and take our 7th inning stretch, even though we're early on in the show.
All right, guys. So we have that 7th inning stretch. The probably the best song in baseball, in my opinion.
Absolutely,
so, root for our home team.
So we have Spencer Witten here, and Spencer's going to help us talk about. So there was a bracket. It was recently released on Facebook or on Twitter, and I know Spencer, you know, was very active on Twitter talking about it. So the bracket's called "Who is your favorite mediocre Pittsburgh Pirate?" Kind of a play on, you know, March Madness was happening. So a thing going on at Twitter was a lot of people. This trend was starting where a lot of people were releasing brackets for, you know, Disney movies and different stuff like that.
This is a strong lineup we got here.
We have this Pittsburgh Pirate bracket, and you know, from the time probably from the 90s all the way until, you know, the Pirates made it to the playoffs, the Pittsburgh Pirates are pretty mediocre. So we have some
I think mediocre is a compliment to
bad. I'll name you some first seeds just to.
Well, I just want to clear something up though. The thing is that these names. It was anybody who played from 2000 to 2012, so they weren't on a winning team, and they couldn't be an all-star. So, like, Jason Bay isn't on this list. Jack Wilson's not on this list because they were all-stars. Freddie Sanchez, guys like those.
So we do have number one seeds as Craig Wilson. We have a number one seed in Oliver Perez, a number one seed in Kip Wells. And who did we change Jarrett Jones to?
Niger Morgan.
So,
wait, didn't Niger Morgan go on to have some success in Milwaukee, though?
Technically, but for the Pirates, he was mediocre.
I remember him just packing massive chaws and going out in the outfield with a huge dip in his mouth. That's all I can remember, and him being, like, kind of fast.
So we'll ask Spencer first. So, Spencer, I know you made your bracket, and you're talking about it. Why don't you
making this bracket.
Why don't you tell us who your final four are?
My final four is, the one bracket, we got Craig Wilson.
All right.
And then I loved Craig Wilson, man. That guy, the longer his hair got throughout his career, the less he cared about playing baseball. He showed up for a paycheck every single game.
I think that's what they all did, right?
True.
Why don't you tell us your other three, Spencer?
My other three, I have Ian Snell as my other, so I don't have seeds in the final four. I have Randall Simon. Randall Simon, I mean, he takes the cake in the sense that he hit one of the sausages that in the racing.
Oh, so that's who that is.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, Randall Simon's that guy, Mike.
He hit a sausage with a bat, which turned out to be like a 20-year-old girl. And, like, he almost got charged with, like
assault.
It was bad. And then
battery, yeah.
My final four person is Rob Mikhoviak. Rob Mikhoviak is probably the highest seed, I think, on here, and he's one of my favorite Pirates. That's why
I picked
him.
Spencer, I met you freshman year, and I know you've always harped on Rob Mikhoviak being a great Pittsburgh Pirate. So can you tell us who your champion is?
The only reason is Rob Mikhoviak. I was at the one game, which I don't know if you guys remember. It was years ago, 2005, I think, or 4, May 29th. It was doubleheader. Rob Mikhoviak hit a walk-off grand slam.
I was at that game, by the way,
the same day his son was born.
Yeah, that was honestly one of the coolest things that had happened to Pittsburgh Pirates baseball during that time. But I'll just throw out some matchups, is that we have Adam LaRoche and Andy LaRoche as a 2-15 matchup.
Wow. That's such a good – whoever put this bracket together, like – the matchups are pretty fair, to be honest.
It's a tough one, honestly, going through. I mean, you have some Pirates on here,
I think there's
I'm looking
one
at
guy.
Logan's right now, and he has a 16 seed going to the final four.
I do. I'm gonna have to
Logan, why don't you tell us who your final four is?
Well, I'm still in the process of a little bit making it. I got half of my final four done.
You know
but
what? I'm not even going to make it. I'm not even going to look at any other name. I'm taking a 3 seed all the way to the ship.
Who is it?
Josh Fogg.
Josh
Fogg.
He's my sweet 16.
I don't understand. Those teams were so
Josh
bad.
Fogg was so irrelevant. Like, he was the 3 starter for like 5 years,
he wasn't even good.
He
was a mediocre player
He had like a 5 ERA consistent.
I'll throw out my final four as I'm looking at this. I'm going to put in the one, I'm going to have Xavier Nady as my one final four.
Rod Barajas? Question mark?
Not Rob Barajas. He was so bad.
Rob Barajas doesn't even get on my first round.
Doug Mankiewicz. Doug Mankiewicz is in my final four as well.
Wow.
Because I went to a Pirate game, and Doug Mankiewicz, we won 1-0 against the Toronto Blue Jays. It's back when the Pirates used to wear those red alternate jerseys.
I love those jerseys.
And
they need to bring those back.
They do.
He had a walk-off hit in that game. So, but he's by far one of my favorite mediocre Pirates. But then I'll also throw in who we got up here.
Tom Gorzolani.
I really liked Ronnie Cedeno. He was so mediocre.
Yep, I would have Ronnie.
I'm throwing Ryan Domet in there too. And then
I think Ryan Domet is a good pick for anyone in the championship.
I think
game.
Ryan Domet is my my national champion in terms of my favorite mediocre Pittsburgh Pirate.
Remember when they made Ryan Domann a right fielder?
Yeah, yes. How'd that work out for us?
Wasn't it? Who was playing first base? Was that Jeff Clement at first base?
It was something.
Ronnie Polino.
Kyle Overbay might have been playing. I don't know yet.
All right, I got mine. Listen to my final four. Now, I looked at this and I'm like, which one of these guys stands out that are just so Pirate?
Okay, right. I guess
it's just the 20.
Now that you say it that
Pirate.
Way, I get
I already
that.
Know you have.
So my final
John
four,
Van Benskoin.
I have a 16 seed with I have my 16 seed Derek Bell in my final four because there is nothing more 20-year losing streak than the operation shutdown.
How many games did he play on the Pirates?
He played a full season. He batted under 200. Decided he's like, hey. I deserve an opening day spot, even though I batted under 200 in a year, and he just stopped showing up when they want to give it to him.
What
operation?
Seasons
that
did
is
he
the
play?
Most pirate
2001
thing.
Was his 2001. Season.
That is the most pirate thing that I ever heard. I got Daryl Ward from coming out of the other one bracket, who is I believe a four seed. Because the reason I have Daryl Ward is because before the Pirates signed him, he was the first player to hit a ball. Into Allegheny River.
On a fly.
The Pirates signed him from the Astros most likely because he did that.
He did that, yes.
And then he just stunk. So that's why I have him on my final four. I got Randall Simon for the same thing because who doesn't, you know, correlate the losing season with him hitting a sausage on the head with a bat?
I just want to know what his mentality was when he did. Like, what?
May I ask a question?
How do you play a game and you're sitting there in the dugout with the guys on your team? You're like, hey, what if I just hit this sausage?
I got Rob McCowiak. Coming out of the one because his moment where he hits he hit a grand slam and a walk off home run on the day his kid was born is one of those pirate moments.
It was actually a game tying home run. The only reason why I know that is because I was there. The second game because it was a doubleheader.
Hey guys,
right, it was two big.
Guys, and then, guys, it was two big home runs.
Can I ask a question, please? Who is Pokey Reese?
You don't know who Pokey Reese is?
No.
You're muted.
Oh, okay.
He's muted.
All right. I have a Pokey Reese bobblehead, by the way. I had him losing to Randall. That was a tough one for me. And then I came into the Bell and Ward was a real tough matchup because I'm like, which one's more pirate? I'm going to go with Derek Bell. And then I had Randall Simon and Rob McCowiak. I picked Randall Simon. So I had a 16 seed defeating a number 3 seed in my national title.
That is.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
Imagine that happening
in
the real world.
Do you believe
in
miracles?
UMBC.
Well, yeah. But I mean, imagine that like at the final.
Can we just put John Russell as the national champion if we want to talk about
bad Pirates?
I feel
like he's like, I think the brackets, like the regions are like the managers. So you got the John Russell region, the Lloyd McClendon region, the.
I
think John Russell is going to go down
Pierce,
as the worst coach in MLB.
Steve Pierce
history.
Was late 2000s, and Ollie Perez was Lloyd McClendon.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Steve
names
Pierce
in
was.
I'm not talking like
Sean Burnett.
Steve Perez was appeared on the
Snow,
team when Hurdle was
Gorzolani,
there.
I'm not talking
Grabo,
like. I'm just
Mahomes.
Saying naming the groups because like why not?
Some of these guys were good players. Ollie Perez, good player.
I mean,
player.
Xavier
Perez
Nady,
is
not terrible.
John Grabo, good
Adam,
player.
Adam LaRoche, huge success in Washington. And then some success in Chicago, too.
Before he came here, it was a great success with the Braves before he came to the Pirates. He was a great player with the Braves.
That just shows you how much of an absolute dead zone.
Xavier Nady, the Pirates traded him to the Yankees. He batted .330 with, I believe it was 14 home runs at the deadline when the Pirates traded him to the
Yankees.
Xavier
Nady was a decent player.
I mean,
decent. .330 at the deadline?
I mean, they got guys
on
here.
That's insane.
Mike Gonzalez was their closer. He led the league in saves, and then they traded him at the deadline to the Braves because he was good at the time, so they got rid of him.
Paul Mahal. The Tyke Redmond-Chris Duffy matchup was a difficult one for me.
Chris Duffy snapped his leg and was never the same
Chris
again.
Duffy, I think, was he the one that was on those, like, three-man bobbleheads that they had? Pirates had, like, those three-man bobbleheads, and I'm pretty sure every guy – was never heard of.
I remember,
well, no, because
like,
it was because they were hyping up that outfield of McLeod, Duffy, and J-Bay.
Okay,
Duffy died, and then we're like, all right, we still got Nate McLeod.
And then they traded J-Bay for nobody.
And then they traded Jason Bay for nothing.
Got
and they
Moss
traded
out of
Nate,
that.
Nate.
And then Nate McLeod put up an All-Star caliber year, and they shipped
Jeff
him
Locke
out.
For Nate McLeod. I believe it was Jeff Locke.
Oh. Man,
that made
Jeff Locke made an All Star game.
That would come full circle.
Jeff Locke was
an All Star.
Where's James McDonald on this list?
Oh.
James McDonald
was on.
He was an All Star.
He was on the.
He was an
All Star.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
I'm pretty sure he was.
He was not. He missed it out in 2012, but he was on the 2013 team, I believe. I believe they cut him early in the 2013
yes,
season.
Yes, that is, I believe.
Look, I'm telling you right now, you're dead wrong. He was not an all-star. But he I believe he was on anyway, the 2013 team.
I just
want to
know what
he
did after he got cut.
He went to L.A.? I'm going to say Chicago.
No, I thought they got him
Chicago.
From LA.
I'm going to say Chicago.
Career statistics include a 4.20 ERA. What a guy. He's only 33 right now.
He's only 33 now?
Yeah.
That's insane.
He was, wow, he was like young. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they got him from the Dodgers. I knew that.
Yeah. He had a decent build. I wonder whatever happened to his cousin or brother, whatever it was, on the Red Sox, Darnell McDonald. Does anyone remember that?
Well, man, yeah, he did play for the Boston Red Sox. I do remember Darnell McDonald. I don't know what he's doing now.
Probably nothing.
Probably
good.
Doesn't have a job, but, you know.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Now, let's segue into, we're going to keep with mediocre Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, the Pittsburgh Pirates, back when they had their old general manager, Dave Littlefield, the Pirates were notorious for picking bad players in the draft.
Oh, jeez.
And they called Daniel Moskis bad.
So
I'm gonna
name you a
year. I thought Moskis was Huntington.
I'm going to name you a year. Can you guys tell me who the Pittsburgh Pirates drafted in 2006? Logan, do you think you can tell me who they drafted?
Can you give us hints?
Is that not Walker?
2006. He doesn't play for the Pirates anymore, obviously.
Zach Duke.
Is that not Walker?
No, it is not. It is not.
For Zach Duke.
He
Zach Duke was like a third.
Used to be a pitcher for the
John
Blue
Van
Jays. Bence.
Oh, no. I was going to say
Wait,
John
for
Used
what
to be
team?
A pitcher for the Blue
Brad
Jays.
Brad Lincoln?
Yes, it is Brad Lincoln.
Brad Lincoln. I forgot about that.
Now, I want you guys.
No, that's what you said? He used to be a pitcher for the Blue Jays?
He used to.
You should have said we traded him for Travis Snyder. Come on, man.
Also,
he made major league appearance with us.
I have a Brad
now, can you guys,
Lincoln Knight Altoona curve
Can
baseball.
You guys tell me who the Pirates passed up on to draft Brad Lincoln?
2006, it would have been Kershaw.
Yes, that is one.
It would have been Kershaw. It would have been Zach Greinke.
Probably Mike Trout, too. But
no, Trout was the year with Machado. So that Trout was the year of Tyon.
It was. Okay, I will tell you. Ready? There were four players that are notable in the first couple rounds.
Clayton Kershaw is one.
Yes.
Zach Greinke is another. And then who are the other ones? There are two.
We passed up on Tim Lincecum.
Well,
we passed up on Matt Scherzer. And we passed up on Andrew Miller.
Pretty decent. But I think Brad Lincoln was a good replacement.
At least Brad
to be
Lincoln
fair,
made
at
the
time, every scout had a big thing with Brad Lincoln. But there's a story that I don't know if you guys heard, but there's a story of Dave Littlefield. So he went to scout in person Clayton Kershaw, and Kershaw was pitching for I don't know if it was high school or college. I don't know which way he came from, but he went to scout Clayton Kershaw. Yeah. And he went there, and Kershaw got rocked by the opposing team. And right
Best
after
thing
that
to
game,
ever happened to him,
David Littlefield said, "No, we're not going to keep scouting this guy. He's not going to be a good pitcher." So they only scouted him that one game.
Good job.
That
so
is
we're
a
gonna,
true story.
We're going to go on to 2007.
Okay.
And we have – can you guys tell me who they drafted in 2007?
Tony Sanchez?
No.
No, 2007 would have been – I would have been Walker.
That is a Daniel Moskis year.
That's
the Moskis.
The Pirates passed up in 2009.
No,
they,
Walker was
2007 when they drafted Daniel Moskis. They passed up on Matt Wieters, and they passed up on Madison Bumgarner. So I want you to think about,
to be fair,
from 2006 and 2007, the Pirates could have drafted 1 and 2 Kershaw and Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's
or Scherzer
decent.
And Bumgarner.
Well, the
Wieters,
big thing about
Matt
that.
Matt Wieters hasn't done much.
Well, the
lately.
Big thing was about that was.
Still,
the
he was
Pirates,
an all star.
The Pirates, everyone expected the Pirates to take Wieters. Everyone expected the Pirates to take Wieters. But they took Moskis because they wanted to save money on their later rounds, which, to be fair, has worked for the Pirates in certain ways. Because they were able to, in the future strategies, they get guys like Glasnow, who has shown potentially he can be a top prospect. Because they draft cheap players in the first round, and then they end up developing them later.
Yeah, but I think
of course it didn't work this round.
I think I'd rather have Madison Bumgarner.
And I'll just
he's all right.
Let me throw out a couple more drafts. So in 2009,
he was really all right when he beat us in that.
You're not even saying the worst draft.
In 2009, I don't want to talk about all the worst drafts because they just make me sad.
Well, you got to talk about the big one. 2009 was Tony Sanchez.
2009, that's where I'm getting at.
But that's not the worst one.
Let the man speak. He's hosting the show.
2001, John Van Benschoten. They drafted him.
We don't want to talk about 2001 Pittsburgh Pirates.
I believe it was 2001. John Van Benschoten, they draft a guy, hit 40 home runs in college, I believe, in one season, and they turned him into a pitcher.
Yeah, that's the Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's the worst one.
We drafted Stetson Alley.
How does that not make sense to you?
So, okay, in 2009, the Pirates did draft Tony Sanchez. You were right, Logan, and we passed up on Mike Trout, the best player in baseball. And then,
to be fair, though, what, I know, 15 teams passed up on Mike Trout?
True. In 2011, the Pirates did draft Gerrit Cole, which, I mean,
turned out pretty well.
Turned out like a good draft.
Who did they draft the year after?
But hold on. In 2011, the Pirates could have drafted George Springer, Francisco Lindor, or Jose Fernandez, which it's not working out too well right now for the Marlins.
All right, next topic.
I'm saying in general.
That's not cool.
Oh, stop.
Come on.
Right now he is not pitching.
Do I have to queue up the Titanic?
Next okay, so what,
rest
what are you
in peace.
And then, what are you getting at with that then?
I'm just saying like the Pirates drafted Gerrit Cole, but they could have had those three guys. And in 2012 we drafted Mark Appel, who we did end up getting a compensation pick for it.
I don't blame
but
the Pirates.
But we did
for
pass up
Mark
on
Appel.
Corey Seager and Addison Russell.
Mark Appel was by far the number one.
Not only was he the number one pick in that draft, he was the number one pick in the next year's draft, and I don't even think he had
the Pirates
as good of
took
a
chance on it because they're like, hey, we'll throw you this money. We know you want to go to college, but we'll throw you the money anyway. And then they took the chance, and even though he didn't go, they were like, all right, we understand that. They got a compensation pick.
But you got to get the other years. They took Gerrit Cole, and they also in 2011 they also took Josh Bell. You got to look at these other picks.
I'm
they
just saying, in terms of the years.
They got Glasnow the same year they got Tyon.
Hey.
Excuse me, let me cut you off real quick here. There's
we
a
have
guy
a visitor.
Wandering around outside.
Oh, man.
Go
easy.
Ahead, let him, go ahead,
easy.
Let him in.
Can you let him in, Spencer?
All right, here. He can have my microphone.
All right.
How you guys doing? My name's Tom from Blonox.
Tom from Blonox. Thanks for joining us today. So, Tom, we're actually talking about old Pittsburgh Pirates and how from that span of the early 2000s till the Pirates made the playoffs, there were a lot of bad Pirates in that span. Can you tell me who your favorite worst Pirate is of all time?
My favorite worst part? I'm going to probably have to go with man.
It's a tough one, we know.
Oh, it is a tough one. Yeah, I'm going to go a little Tyke Redman. Little Tyke Redman.
Tyke Redman.
Oh, yeah. He's terrible.
I can Tyke.
Personally, Tyke Redman, great pitcher. Or great.
He's a center fielder.
Great center fielder. He had a guy. Geez. Mark Redman was the pitcher. I know who Tyke Redman is. Great center fielder in
you
his
should
time.
Should mute yourself.
I wish I could. So, actually.
You know what? He wasn't good enough to force. I still wore my Jason Kendall jersey to the games for about 5 years.
All right, so.
You had a red one with the old red jerseys they used to
bring
have?
Bring those back.
He didn't bring them back.
So the Pittsburgh Pirates this year, we just talked about the bad Pirates, but right now we'd like to say good Pirates on the team right now, and they're off to a 4-0 start, and they're playing the Twins right now. What do you think of the Buccos so far this year?
Ugh, they're doing just good enough to maybe convince me to go down there and spend some money at a ballpark. Polanco tagged out of the plate. I'm watching it right now. Almost knocked they got that super mode down there. Why did he change AT&T Sports Network? Are you going to change it every five months? Root. And wasn't it something else?
It's
and now
Fox
it's
Sports
else.
Network.
And it
time.
Was Fox Sports. It's still Fox Sports in my heart. And the Pirates are still winning 3-2. What was your question?
Now, we'll move on. So 60,000 people signed a petition during the offseason to get rid of Bob Nutting, to make him either sell the team or, you know, just stop being associated with the Pittsburgh Pirates. A lot of people don't like him with the whole seven sprints and, you know, pumping money into that area and not really giving the Pirates a lot of money. Were you one of the 60,000 people that signed that petition?
How many? 60,000? 60,000
people signed.
59,999 because I signed it twice. That's how bad I want this guy to get out of here.
So you don't like Bob Nutting?
No. Why should I? Tell me why I should watch. I go down there, all right, $20 a park. Okay. Ticket, $25. Next year, probably be $30. And I'm sitting all the way up in the nosebleeds. Me and my nephew Jimmy, I go down there. All right, I want a French fry, $6.75. I want a water. That's another $5. Next thing you know, I'm $11 in a hole there, and I gotta have me in Iron City. That's about $8.
Maybe two or three.
That is not a product endorsement. Just want to point out that is not a product endorsement.
How about a cool, refreshing beverage? It'll probably run you about $8. Then you know what? I'm kind of craving some Quaker Steak and Lube. Say, get down there, give me a bucket of wings, $21. I blew my whole paycheck on a power can. This guy's got to be kidding me. And then he wants me to get it on Seven Springs, too, putting a new video board up. How about you build a winner? Oh, you build us a stadium, we'll build Jens a winner. Still waiting. It's about 18 years later, pal.
So Bob Nutting's actually worth a little bit over $1 billion with his family and
maybe
how
he
owns
me a check.
All his businesses. So he's now in his 11th season as an owner, and he's made 10 teams with only three as a winning record. What's that make you think about Bob Nutting?
Oh, Yvonne Nova, wild pitch just clicked off the backstop.
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside. Almost ended up in a dugout. What were you going to say about that? Why?
We'll move on.
Direct me.
You don't even know what I'm asking you.
Ask me the question again. I'm distracted.
We'll ask you one more.
The Point Park side.
So we'll have one more thing. We'll just have you comment.
That's also not an endorsement.
Tell us what you think so far about the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's how we're going to lead it off with you today.
All right. So the Pirates this year, the bullpen's going to be bad. Bats are probably going to be bad. Starting pitching is going to be bad. Pop-up. No one can see where the pop-up is. What are you doing? Oh, it just dropped in the middle of the infield. He's running first base, so he got him out. Played at third base. Double play. He's safe. Oh, Sean Rodriguez, we may have a challenge here. That being said, when you're seeing stuff, oh, he just yelled the F word. Yvonne Nova ain't too happy.
What is happening right now?
The most ponderous thing happened. Let me tell you something. Pop-up. Cervelli looks up. All you see is snow flurries out there. It's snowing out. He's looking up. He's holding his arms out like, where's it going to go? Bloop. This drops right down there inside of the line.
Second pop-up in 2 days.
They
have not.
He's like, where's it at? Where's it at? Nova's pointing. He's coming in. He don't see where it's at. Or the batter's in a way it drops. He gets tossed out at first. Bell almost threw it to the wrong bag. Harrison threw it. He might be hot. That might be a double play here. He might be hot. Here we go. Slow-mo, AT&T Sports.
All right, man. You know what?
Rodriguez. Well, I'm going to say, right here on the Pirates. So they're going to be decent enough. I think they're going to not really change my opinion too much. Only four games. They're probably still going to finish right about 500, and maybe he'll get a wild card if they're lucky. Then I'll get done. Probably spend more money at the game. And I won't get the first wild card. Who am I kidding? I got to get out of here. I got to go pick my kids up at practice.
We'll let you get out of here. Go watch the rest of that Bucko game. Just for an update, the Pirates are still up 3-2 in the top of the sixth. We have one out, and we have a guy on third. So we want to thank him for joining us.
That guy was electric.
He was electric today.
Wow, and it is really flurrying out there at this game. I've never seen baseball like this, I don't think. This is unique, to say the least.
Well, I feel like there's been snow a couple weeks. I've seen it.
No, I don't think
I've
ever
been
seen
to an opening
like
day
this.
With snow before.
Tied up game now?
3-2.
3-2, run around third, one out.
Well,
chopper up
in.
The middle. They had the switch, and it ends up getting
nice
past
there. Nice going.
Faster
three,
than century.
Nice going. Nice going.
So the Pittsburgh Pirates, during their opening day, they got 5 1/3 innings out of Jameson Taillon. He had a career-high 9 strikeouts. So the attendance with the Pirates, they only had 30,000 people at opening day just the other day, which is not as great as we've seen in the last couple of years. So, Loden, can you tell us real quick about what you think about the Pirates' attendance in opening day?
It's an angry fan base. It's an angry fan base. It's a frustrated fan base, and that's why the attendance is down. And of course, that doesn't help when the weather is like it is. I mean, you talked about the snow going on. That doesn't help. I mean, it's an angry fan base. The weather is cold, and a lot of people don't have that good of expectations for the team this year. And all those factors come in as to why there's about 8,000 empty seats there.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that at all.
Yeah, the weather is a little bit of a factor, but, you know, it's kind of tough for the Pirates. So
let's wrap it up here.
We're going to wrap it up here. So we want to thank you guys for tuning in to Cannonball Coming for the second straight week. The Pirates are off to a hot 4-0 start, so maybe they can go 162-0. First team in Major League Baseball to ever do it.
Oh, they pull it out tonight.
If they can pull it out tonight. So we want to thank you guys for joining us. I am Matt Curtick alongside with Loden Carney, Mike Shuley, and special guest Spencer Witt. Thank you, Spencer, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
We want you guys to have a great night, and as always, let's go, Bucks.
Go, Bucko. Crowd cheers, I don't care if I ever